Every day is a clean slate. What is it that you regret? You come this morning, and if the truth be told, you regret not doing, you regret not taking that step, not saying those words, not doing those things. Where are the regrets? And the question is this morning, would you like a clean slate? What is it that you would erase? What is it you would wipe down and never deal with it again? And the question is that even possible? Is it something we can do? Unless you're a U.S. American, the name John McCain may not mean much to you. McCain served in the Navy as a Navy aviator in Vietnam, was a prisoner of war in Vietnam for 5.5 years. He was also a follower of Christ, and that really determined the path of his life. And his captors, when he was captured in Vietnam, his captors at that time would not allow him to have a Bible. And so he led Bible studies when he was in captivity based on the scriptures that he had memorized. And he would take those scriptures and he would share them with the other prisoners. And these scriptures that he'd committed to memory before he ever was taken captive became the source of the Bible study for those who were imprisoned with him. McCain came home and entered politics, which in my mind is probably a greater test of faith than being a POW. And throughout his career, he was known as someone of great integrity and kind of a maverick, someone who wouldn't do things just the way they were supposed to be done, but rather struck his own path, much out of that faith that meant so much to him. McCain died of a brain tumor on August 25th, and at his funeral, Henry Kissinger, the 94-year-old former Secretary of State in the United States, said of McCain, "Honor is an intangible quality, not obligatory. It has no code. It reflects an inward compulsion, free of self-interest. It fulfills a cause, not a personal ambition. It represents what a society lives for beyond the necessities of the moment. Love makes life possible, honor and nobility." For John, speaking of McCain, it was a way of life. And then he quoted a statement that had been made by McCain for a university graduation, when he said, McCain said at that point, "No one of us, if they have character, leaves behind a wasted life." Regrets. How is it that so often people end up at the end of their lives, and the thing that they can make the list of most easily are the list of regrets? The things that they had wished they had done, that they wished they had taken that opportunity, that they wished they had said. These choices that face us on a daily basis, choices after choices. And our lives, whenever we come to the end of our lives are a sum of our choices. And not just the ones which are public, not the ones that are the big choices that we think people know about. They're the ones that we see. They are the choices that we make that are public in so many ways. But not just those choices will make up our lives, but the small choices, those private choices. Sometimes the things that seem of little significance in the long run are yet the building blocks of the much larger choices which define us. And unfortunately, for so many of us, we come to the end of our lives and we think back on those choices, and all we can think are, "I wish I had not," or "I wish I had." Those regrets In our lives, the last thing that God wants from us is that our lives on this earth, before we spend eternity with Him, the very last thing that God wants from us is that this life should be made up of regrets. But rather, He desires that they be made up of joys. We're at the end of our lives, rather than our lives being defined by the regrets we have about the things we did not do or that we did, but rather that God desires that our lives, as we look back at the end of our lives, how we finish, that we see with great joy the ways that God works, even in the midst of those small things, sometimes because of those small decisions, those small choices that we make. But as we come to the third week in our Choices I Choose sermon series, this morning we need to talk about the fact that we need to choose discipline over regret. That if this is going to be true of us, that if at the end of our lives we're going to look back and not be there giving a list of regrets, we're going to have to make some choices now that are different from those things which would lead us to regret. What is it? How do we lead life in such a way that our life is not a sum of regrets? It's not a sum of bad choices, of choices we wish we had not made. How do we do that? How do we get there? What is it that we must do now in order to reach the end of our lives and not have a series of regrets? Now, that doesn't mean that our past choices and our past regrets disappear. But it is also not the case that past mistakes and regrets make it impossible to lead a life of significance and meaning. Just as the board on the video that we saw, just as the board could be washed and today starts a new day, so it is with our lives. And as we come to this service today, there is the choice. We have the opportunity, we have the choice of choosing discipline over regret. We have the opportunity to change the direction of our lives. If anyone had regrets, it had to be the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine someone who stood by and approved? We're studying on Thursday nights in our midweek Bible study. We're studying through Acts. I think the youth are studying through Acts as well. And can you imagine being Saul, as he was known at that point, standing by and approving of the stoning of Stephen? Can you imagine being the one who, looking back on your life, was the one who pursued and persecuted the early church, threw people in prison, was responsible for their deaths often? There was a viciousness to the persecution of the early church that had its root in the man who we know as the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine the temptation to relive those events? Can you imagine laying in bed at night and how often those regrets must have come forward and the thoughts of Paul's mind going back to those early days? I wish I had not. How could Paul continue? How could he, after meeting the risen Savior and that dramatic show of power in his life as he was converted and came to know Christ personally, and it transformed his life. So how was it that he was able to leave behind those regrets and wash that board clean? Doesn't mean there were no struggles. Doesn't mean he didn't struggle with who he was beforehand and the things that he had done beforehand. But how did he deal with that? I want us to look at Romans chapter 7 today. As Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and I want us to look at some very important verses in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, that reflects a little bit of that story that I told the children earlier. Starting in verse 14, it says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. for I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. An amazing passage. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that Paul put into words the struggle that I feel. Maybe you don't have this struggle. Maybe you aren't like this. But for me, so often it's like the wolves that are at battle, at war within us. And there's that desire to do good that Paul identifies. And yet at the same time, there's that struggle to not do those things or to do something that is evil. That knowingly we choose, we make choices that are bad choices. We make choices that come out of the flesh. And Paul says, I struggle with this. I want to do right. I love my Lord and Savior, and I desire to do the things that will bring Him glory. But there is a battle that goes on. And that battle goes on in each and every one of us, each and every day, between the desires of the new man, that which has been recreated in Christ, and the flesh, the man of the flesh, our old person, who we were before. And those two do battle on a daily basis. And the question of who wins. The old man screams, I want this now. While the new man calls me to something higher. Now it's important to note, you should never read just a section without understanding the context. And it's important to note that in chapter 8, Paul goes on to describe our victory and freedom in Christ, something that he just indicates briefly in chapter 7. But in chapter 8, he goes on to talk about that freedom that we can experience in Christ. We are not bound to the law of our flesh, which we struggle against. The struggle is real, but there is real freedom in Christ. But it is a choice. I can step into the prison cell of my struggles, of my desires, the temptation to live in the moment and forget the consequences. I can do that. I have that ability. I have that choice that I can make to step into that prison cell. And God will not stop me unless I turn to Him and ask for His strength and His guidance and His change in my life and the ability to live in freedom. Every single day, the choices we make will call upon us to listen either to the voice of the Spirit or the voice of the flesh. And that is a choice between discipline and regret. So today I want us to take three concepts. I want us to look at three concepts that will help us to live in a way that we live out of that freedom that we have in Christ. And then I want us to ask some very pointed questions for each of these concepts. And so the first concept is choosing discipline means choosing between what you want now and what you want most. Now let's say that again. Choosing discipline means choosing between what you want now and what you want most. Now let's just be real honest with one another, right? Because if we choose what we want now, most of what's screaming in our ears is the flesh. I want this. I want it for me. Because what we want now is to put ourselves out in front. That's the natural thing. It's natural to want to put ourselves out front and say, this is really all about me. Have you ever noticed that every single one of us think that the world revolves around us? We used to, occasionally, we have, you know, one son. Now, I did not grow up as an only child. I had a brother and a sister who annoyed me greatly, but who also helped me know that I was not the only person in the universe. And so my son, being an only child, we had to develop a sign that, son, the world does not revolve around you. And that sign was, and if we made this sign, that was the sign for our son, the world does not revolve around you. You'd be surprised, or probably not, how often that sign got used. It was almost constant. You know, I just needed some sort of a little emoji. This was pre-emoji days. And so, but, you know, the world does not revolve around you. But why does that come up so often? Because every single one of us, if we're left to ourselves, will want the world to be about us. We want it to be about us. We want it to be about our comfort. We want it to be about how much we have. We want the nice stuff. We want to come forward. We want to be chosen for the job. We want to be chosen for the promotion. We want the glory. We want all of it. We want to be up front, and we want it to be about us. And so the calling of discipleship is that we choose something else. We choose what we want most, not what we want now. So here's a couple of questions to help you in maybe making that decision. First, what do you want most? Do you really want, is the thing you want most for the world to revolve around you? Because if so, you can never live out what God is calling you to be about. And at the end of your life, you will have regrets. Because that is a shallow life to live. And it's a life filled with regret. So what is it you want most? Second question, is being transformed into His likeness your greatest priority? Now listen to that again. Your greatest priority. Is it the thing that you want most, more than anything else? Is there nothing else in your life that you want more than being recreated into His likeness, being transformed to be like Him? That is the calling. If we want to live a life without regrets, that is the calling, is to live a life with more than we want it, more than anything else, for that to be our desire. Anything else will be a life that will be filled with regret. It is only in that life in which we put Him above all else that we experience the joy that He desires. Andy Stanley says that we don't drift in good directions. We don't drift. Now, is there a truer statement than that? We don't drift in good directions. If we just kind of take life as it's coming, then we will not drift into the priorities that we need. Andy says we discipline and prioritize ourselves there. So choosing discipline is hard. It is hard work. And honestly, choosing discipline involves pain. And yet, in every area of life, discipline makes a difference, not just in your present, but in your future. Choosing discipline makes a difference in your life now and for the future. But there is pain. There is struggle. There is work. So we have the pain of listening to good advice now rather than the pain of the consequences later. We have the pain of studying now rather than the pain of failure later. The pain of saying no to temptations rather than the pain of the consequences of our choices. The pain of discipline is important to shape us into who we are. We must choose the pain of discipline or experience the pain of regret. The old city of Corinth. Susan and I had the opportunity a couple of years ago to see the old city of Corinth, and it was located halfway between Athens and Sparta. I think saying just the name of the city, Sparta, you know, just makes you want to kind of, if you're a guy, it kind of makes you want to go, huh. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, yeah, Sparta, yeah. Every man wants to come from Sparta. Just ladies, so you know that, every man wants to come from Sparta. There's very few of us who want to come from Athens. We want to come from Sparta. Now, Athens, we know because of the intellectual influence the city had. Sparta, we know because of its military might. And in fact, Sparta, every single layer of the social fabric of that society and even the constitution in Sparta was built upon keeping the military supreme. It was all focused on that. And then in the middle was Corinth. And in the wars that were fought in that day and time, one time Corinth would go with Sparta, and one time Corinth would go with Athens. And they would go back and forth, and they were in the middle. And in many cases, they tried to play that middle ground. They tried to make choices that would put them in the best possible way because the world revolves around them. And they were known for a lot of things, including the Temple of Apollos. But one of the things that they were known for the most, and for which they really became famous, was a set of games. And these games were known as the Isthmian Games. And they were held the year before and the year after the Olympics. And many of the events were the same, so those who were training would train for the events in Corinth before the Olympic Games. Paul was located for a period of time in Corinth. And so when he writes to the Corinthians about having discipline in their lives as followers of Christ, he does so while reflecting on these games. So out of 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27, we hear that when he says, "Do you not know that in a race all of the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." So you hear these games in the background as Paul writes this to the Corinthians. And there's a really important concept that comes out of that. And that concept is choosing discipline involves work and even pain. But choosing this pain will prevent me from being disqualified for that to which I was called. Did you know you have a calling? Every single person in this room, you have a calling. And the question is, will you have the opportunity to live out that calling? Will you be able to live out that calling that God has for you? Will you be able to live in such a way that it reflects His glory and what He wants to do in you? If you think the answer is yes, then you have to know that that will come only through discipline, which can be a lot of hard work and some pain. That's the only way that can happen. The only way that we can live in that kind of way is as we are willing to experience the struggle, the hard work, and even the pain of what it means to follow Christ. Now the questions. Where do you try to take the shortcuts? Now, you know what I mean, right? Well, I read my Bible. I read it. Well, I remember last year. There was a time last year whenever I read, and it was good. Yeah, I remember Paul. Yeah, good guy. Where do we take the shortcuts? Where are we unwilling to spend the time with him? Where are we unwilling to spend the time in prayer? Where are we unwilling to give the pain, the work that it will take to have the discipline to experience what God desires to do in us? Where do we try to take the shortcuts? And here's the hard question. Are you in danger of being disqualified for that which God desires to do in your life? There are consequences when we make those choices. And every single day we are faced with those choices. And there are consequences to the choices. And when we make choices, I know, because I struggle just as Paul struggled. I know that challenge of saying, I know what Scripture says. I know what Nick preached. I know what others have said. But this once isn't going to hurt anything. And it could be that that one choice is the regret that you live with, and at the end of your life say, if it hadn't been for that regret, my life would have been totally different. Where is it that we're in danger of being disqualified for what God desires to do in our lives? Dwight Moody was a shoe salesman. Great career. Shoe salesman who felt God's call to preach the gospel. And early one Sunday, one morning, he and some friends were gathered in a hayfield for a season of prayer and confession, consecration. And his friend, Henry Varley, said to them, to the group that was there, "The world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him." Did you get that? The world is yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. And Moody was so moved by these words, he decided he would be that man. And in the course of his life, he went from being a shoe salesman to being an evangelist, to someone who preached literally around the world. He founded the Moody Bible Institute. He didn't have an education, and yet he went back and gained that education and then founded Moody Bible Institute. He wasn't brilliant. He wasn't super gifted. He was simply committed and willing to do the work and endure the pain. If we knew God would do something like that through us, would we be willing to do that very thing? Would we be willing to endure the work and the pain? The writer of Hebrews may have had something like that in mind whenever he says in chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So here's the last concept. We are surrounded by witnesses. Finish well. We are surrounded by witnesses. We are surrounded by these witnesses that are around you right now. These in this church who know you, those in your community that know you, your neighbors, your work colleagues, all those who know you back wherever you come from, there are people who know you. You are surrounded by witnesses. You're also surrounded by those heavenly witnesses who watch and say, how will God be at work through their lives? We are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, those who have come before us, who have set the stage, who did the work, who committed to endure the pain, those witnesses that came before us and set that kind of path that we too can lead. So the question is, will we finish well? It's not how you start, although everyone has to start, but it's how you end. Finish well. So the question, what is it that you need to set aside? What is it that you need to set aside? What is it you just need to stop doing or being about? What sin do you allow to cling closely to you even though it drains your spiritual life? What is it that you allow that to cling to you? You are unwilling to let go of it and get it away from you. I'm preparing for a men's retreat that I'll be helping with for IBC Stuttgart. And we had chosen a book to help guide us by a prominent Christian leader. And then came word. Throughout his ministry, there had been a pattern of inappropriate behavior with women. And even as the decision was being made to ask this Christian leader to step down from his pastorate, literally months before his retirement, we made the decision to use something else. Disqualified by the sin that clings so close. What is it that God would call us to let go of? No regrets. We must refuse to be the one who, I wish I'd spent more time with my kids. Refuse to be the one, if only I'd forgiven them and entered back into that relationship. Refuse to be the one who says, I should have taken better care of myself and now it's too late. Refuse to be the one who says, I never planned on ending up here, and I would give anything for another choice, another chance. Wish I'd never started. No idea this would ruin my life. Without discipline, you will end up where you never planned, doing what you never wanted to do, living a life full of regrets. We must choose discipline over regrets. Would you pray with me, please? Father, what a hard choice. How hard it is to choose on an ongoing basis those things which, Lord, they're just hard sometimes. How hard it is to live with an eternal perspective, to drown out those voices that are saying to us, now, 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 I want it now. Father, I don't want to end my life with regrets. Father, I want to live in such a way that you are able to do through me what only you can do. Father, each of us come to this moment. And that board, if there were a board here, we would have written things that we regret. Father, today, wash that board clean. May we start fresh today with you in a way in which we say, no more regrets from this day forward. And we pray this in your name, Father. Amen.